space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission:
to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap!
Operator, give me the number for 911.
A wee mower, a wee mower, a wee mower, a wee mower.
shit.
Never mind that.
Why, that's me! Look at me! I'm an old man!
Hey, I'm Dr. Emmett Brown. I'm standing here on the parking lot.
Thank God I still got my hair! October 26th. What on earth is this thing I'm wearing?
Wow, this is a radiation suit.
Radiation suit? Of course. Because I'm all the fallout from the atomic wars. This is truly amazing. A portable television studio. No wonder your president has to be an actor. He's got to look good on television.
Whoa, this is it. This is the part coming up, Doc.
No. This sucker's electrical. But I need a nuclear reaction to generate the 1.21 gigawatts of electricity.
What did I just say?
The flux capacitor stores... This sucker's electrical. But I need a nuclear reaction to generate the 1.21 gigawatts of electricity.
1.21 gigawatts! 1.21 gigawatts! Great Scott! What the hell is a gigawatt? How could I have been so careless? 1.21 gigawatts? Tom, how am I going to generate that kind of power? It can't be done, can it?
Look, all we need is a little plutonium.
Oh, I'm sure that in 1985, plutonium was available in every corner drugstore, but in 1955, it's a little hard to come by. Marty, I'm sorry, but I'm afraid you're stuck here.
Doc, stuck here? I can't be stuck here. I got a wife in 1985. I got a girl.
Is she pretty?
Oh, she's beautiful. She's crazy about me. Look at this. Look what you wrote here, Doc. That says it all. Doc, you're my only hope.
Marty, I'm sorry, but the only power source capable of generating 1.21 gigawatts of electricity is a bolt of lightning.
What did you say?
A bolt of lightning. Unfortunately, you never know when or where it's ever going to strike.
We do now.
This is it. This is the answer. It says here that a bolt of lightning is going to strike the clock tower at precisely 10:04 p.m. next Saturday night. If we could somehow harness this lightning, channel it into the flux capacitor, it just might work. Next Saturday night, we're sending you back to the future.
Something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children, watch that sound. Everybody look what's going down. Battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speaking their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. A field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street, singing songs and a carrying signs. Mostly say hooray for our sides. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop now, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop, children, what's that sound?
Changing the art of combusting to get energy and thus producing pollution to one as natural, the absorbing of natural energy, compressing it, using it and then letting it go. You burn nothing in the process. Conventional motors, when you take more and more power, they get warm because obviously there's less electrons and they got more room to buzz around and boom, more energy. Heating up to the point the motor seizes up. In this case, as the electrons come out, electrons have been drawn in, so it can't get hot. You've got a constant flow being drawn in. You start the flow moving, it keeps going and going, getting more and more stronger as you speed up. And once electrons start sensing a homing point, they all start heading in the surrounding to that point.
So relatively speaking, it is positive here, negative out here. Air is ionized, the current draws in the back of the center, and you have completed the circuit.
This is Amy, just one of an uncountable number of negatively charged electrons seeking a positive destination. She finds the positively charged neodymium core irresistible and enters the Searle converter device, becoming part of an enormous reservoir of electrons. Inside the neodymium, Amy meets Neo, an electron from the neodymium core. These electrons are drawn to the powerful magnetic flux line penetrating the four layers in the Searle design. They join together, forming a boson pair, as they spin around the magnetic force, releasing them on their pathway to freedom. As they enter the gate layer, they are compressed, feeling pressure to exit the system. At the same time, they are pulled and accelerated by the magnetic layer. Their energy continues to increase, racing through the emitter layer, joining trillions of other boson pairs that form the eddy current on the surface of plate 1. The boson pair is captured by the roller and blasted into the positively charged neodymium core of the second stage plate, repeating the activity into the third stage of the Searle device. With tremendous energy, Amy and Neo are hurled forcefully into standard coils, where they are collected in the same manner as any generator of electricity. Nothing is created or destroyed. The circuit is complete. As the rollers move, they provoke electrons to migrate through the four layers of the plate. From the neodymium core, through the gate layer, the magnetic layer, and the emitter or copper layer. This activity repeats through the rollers and the plates. Unlike conventional generators, the electrons will be moving at extremely high velocity. Conventional currents are slow currents and they build up heat. The more current you draw, the more heat you get. This system is the opposite. The more current you draw, the colder it gets, for this reason. At the quantum level, the electrons are riding the magnetic field, not hitting the lattice of the atoms. The electrons find their path between atoms undisturbed, so they accelerate to higher and higher speeds.
Rare earth has a different function altogether. That's why we call it rare earth. It likes more electrons than other atoms want. It stores them on another band. So if you've got this surplus electrons, they're easy to take off because they want a positive target. It's going to replace that shortage from the surrounding fabric because that point's becoming a bit positive. So it will draw in electrons. It will pull more and more in than you're taking out. So the device will get colder and colder, because the electrons are getting more compact. They have got they got far less room to move. It is so cold that the material will change its state. It will become a superconductor.
This is truly amazing. A portable television studio.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, blast off!
God's name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
Everybody, it's old Shaziz here out here in my mad science laboratory. Hope everybody had a happy holidays. Hey, how you doing there, buddy?
Oh, I'm having a ball as usual. Woke up, lots of energy, a lot better than I've had in a while. Felt like my hands are untied, got all sorts of good plans ahead for me, which also include me doing one last show a week, and that means I'll be doing Saturday. After a while, when I come back, I'll be doing Sunday morning just before your show.
Cool.
So I'll be just in front of both of your shows there. But to lock off there, I'm kind of excited. My hands have been tied for a while due to one thing after another. But the main thing now is my hands are untied, and I need to start utilizing some of that time to do some wonderful things for the world.
Yeah, it's 2014. I think it's going to be a good year, man. Say, did you hear that pod that I played at the beginning of the show there with John Searle?
Yeah, with boson, electrons, and neodymium, and all that good theory on how magnetics works. That's pretty sharp.
Well, you know, I've been tinkering around with magnetism for a long time, and before the show was on, I was doing that old trick where you slide a neodymium magnet down a copper tube, and you can watch how it has like an anti-gravitation effect because it's kind of trying to grab the walls of the pipe. And so with that said, you know, I've always said that even when a magnet's sitting stationary, there's energy moving in that magnet. And
right, and the lens effect giving it a kind of like an anti-gravity effect due to the mechanical repulsion against the magnetic field that it's creating by turning the electrons inside the pipe in circles. Both ends of the magnet react, and when you're trying to move a magnet through a magnetic field or through a coil, it generates electricity, which generates a counter EMF, which also generates a counter magnetic field. So the harder you push, the more it pushes back. It's pretty sharp.
Yeah. You know, I get aggravated because there's so many brilliant minds that's been kind of screwed over through the years. You know, you got Nikola Tesla. That's the top of my list. He really got screwed. But you know, you got guys out there like John Bedini and John Searle and Keshi working on all kinds of different free energy devices, alternative energy devices. And I've been watching a lot of these guys' old videos for years, you know, even all the way to John Hutchison and even other researchers out there been doing all kinds of different stuff. And it's been driving me insane because a lot of the ideas that are out there, you know, there's a lot of scams out there, but there's a lot of really good ideas. Searle's idea is a good idea to me because not only does it think outside the box, but it also uses like a side effect of you know, something that's going on in nature, you know, like sliding that tube down the pipe. You know, there's something happening there. And to be able to what's the word I'm looking
are you talking about the Searle effect?
Yeah.
Well, I look at that. I see all these magnets going around in a circle, and they stay spaced because as they get closer to each other, they kind of repulse each other. And so they'll stay evenly marked, and then you can do another ring of them, and another ring of them, and another ring of them. It's a pretty cool science project. But I don't see where the free energy comes in.
Well,
you know, it's a pretty neat effect. It's pretty nice science and pretty sharp. But I don't, well, like I said, I don't see where the free energy comes in on that one.
Well, and that's
Definitely a brilliant man, and I like watching his stuff.
That's the point I was trying to get to. Is that although there's a lot of cool things going on in there, it just to me mechanically doesn't work out in my head like it should. You know. You know, if I understand the way that those magnets are repelled and kind of pulled back at the same time around the copper core and all that kind of stuff, but if you got a device like that and it isn't out there right now and you can't get it in front of somebody, something's going on. You see where I'm coming from?
Yeah, I hear you. Well, the lens effect basically doesn't have much to do with John Searle. The lens effect is beautiful. I mean, that is great science. The thing about the lens effect is, even if it's just an AC motor and it's spinning 12,000 RPMs and you short the wires, it goes boom right down to almost the stop. You know, when it stops spinning fast enough to make that electricity flow back and forth and generate anything, it's pretty much a free wheel. But it definitely slows down like a mechanical brake, but it's all magnetic. And that's pretty much in the lens effect. As a magnet passes something, one polarity, even on a piece of steel, a flat piece of steel or a flat piece of aluminum, which is non-magnetic, as they say. If you can draw a circle, the shape of that, you put that magnet down on that aluminum plate and you draw a circle, it is the same thing as a coil that is shorted out. So therefore, even though you're sliding sideways, that circle's moving with the magnet where the electricity's going around in a circle, but it's shorted out. So you drain the power, and you can take that aluminum plate and slide that magnet down, and it goes down real slow. It puts that resistance. That's the cool thing about the lens effect.
That's one of the ways that you can also do that with lead. That's one of the ways they find out whether silver is real or not, by sliding a magnet down it. But I didn't mean to sound like I was trying to combine the lens effect with the Searle effect at the same time. I guess the point I'm trying to get to is that, like thermoelectrics, there's when you heat these two dissimilar metals up, you get a bit of energy going on. When you slide a magnet down the center of a pipe, it acts as if there's a bit of anti-gravity going on in there. But there's so many different plausible portions of each of these free energy devices that, yeah, that's why I want to get virtual labs up and running, so that we can take these plausible portions of all these free energy devices and make a serious working model of it. 2014 should be the year that it's a done deal. It's either put up or shut up. That's what I'm trying to say.
Put up or shut up. I hear you. The way a rotary engine works. I say engine, not motor. Motor is electrical, but an engine uses that internal combustion, the power source is inside, where a motor is the power source is on the outside. A lot of people say, yeah, they need a new motor in their truck. I said, I didn't know you had an electric truck. But no, they don't. They have an engine in there. You need a new engine, not a new motor. So I'm pretty picky on the terms of motor and engine. And the way they use them. Pips, some people say, yeah, you got a motorbike. No, I've got an engine bike. But anyway, rotary engine, the pistons go out all in a circle, and they all share the same cam lobe with one big joiner, and it holds all the piston rods, so they fire in a circle and put out real smooth power. But my deal was, if I could sit there and, how the shaky flashlights work, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so you make a bunch of coils, and you make long tubes, and say what you put several magnets in there that are spaced apart.
Well, that's
several coils for each end of that magnet to sit there and take that lens effect and turn it into electrical energy.
That's
what
my.
You can make those as long as you want, and you could do that and take the outputs, put them through a couple diodes, and take the output on that, and you'll have one smooth. I mean, if you got three pistons, and when you got three phase, if you got five piston or solenoids, as I should call it, if you got five of them, then you got five phase phase power, and each phase after you rectify it makes that DC smoother and smoother and smoother, and you can put a whole bunch of them out there and start increasing your current, because you're going to pretty much stay with the same voltage. So if you can get one piston to do the voltage that you want, then just duplicate it all the way around. And I was going to put a prop on that, and I think it'd be a pretty cool, neat-looking thing to do. So,
yeah, well, that's
one of the projects I always wanted to play with. And the neat other neat thing is about it, it is an air coil.
That's what
not one that's got metal in there taking all the mechanical force and turning it into shorted-out coils. Anywhere you draw a circle on any piece of metal, even if it's inside a coil and it's sitting sideways, you're still going to have some eddy currents and lens currents. And that really knocks the efficiency down to 45%.
That's what
I'm thinking it's a pretty cool thing to sit there and you don't need but maybe five magnets if you're doing five pistons worth. And that's a whole lot cheaper than putting 24 magnets on something.
Buddy, have you seen
it's mostly wire and mechanical, you know what I mean?
Have you seen my neodymium magnet accelerator?
No, I haven't. I have to apologize on that. I haven't had much time to sit there and jump into watching the videos and stuff.
There's a video out there on my YouTube channel, and I'm working on putting that together. But anyway, yeah, what I was trying to say is, with all these different alternative energy devices, and as I'm watching them, a lot of them have plausible theories behind them, and you know, you got you've got so many different types of metals. Some that are diamagnetic, paramagnetic, and basically some are magnetic and some are not. And so my question is, you know, with all these different generators that they put together, you notice how most of the generators, they have like a steel armature inside there, you know, and then they have a soft metal core for the windings.
Right.
Why couldn't you take these non-magnetic metals for the shaft, and then still use the metal core for your soft metal core for your windings, so that you know you wouldn't get that extra drag that you would get because of that steel.
Right. Yeah, they've got the ferrous core, ferrite cores that they're. Most of the ferrite cores conduct electricity, but it doesn't have to be. They've got it to where they grind it up real small, and then they put it in something that basically kind of like your penetrating oil. It just goes in everywhere. It covers every.
Well, I've been doing a couple little experiments.
And they pack it really tight, and it still doesn't conduct electricity. So it's 100% non-conductive. And I tell you what, yeah, that is an alternative to letting it go through. The only drawback on that is basically you'll still have cogging, and that's where the magnets want to go to the center of the coils, where it's attracted to that ferrite.
Yeah, but if you're taking all these things in consideration, and you're getting rid of the magnetic metal shaft, that's one plus towards a better machine.
That's a big plus.
So there's a material out there. I know you're familiar with it. They use it in welding. It's called tungsten, and I've been doing a bit of experiment with tungsten, and it's supposedly non-magnetic. But if you take a neodymium magnet sphere and you roll it through a tungsten ring, you can feel a little bit of push away from that deal, kind of like the effect that you get from bismuth.
Yeah, bismuth's awesome.
But the thing about tungsten is it's really hard, you know, to cut it up. You got to have some really good like diamond blades and stuff like that to, you know, shape it right.
Yeah, that or 4,000 degrees worth of cutting torch, which is easily accomplished with HHO gas, but any other gas, it's real hard and you have to use a lot.
You know, there's, like I said, there's so many different possibilities in the alternative energy deal with different materials, and I spent probably the last year or so, you know, trying to research all different types of materials and finding out what these materials are actually in. You know, tungsten, you can get welding shops, they use it in welding, but, you know, you can actually buy bismuth online and different materials like that. But like the Searle generator, it uses some neodymium powder as part of the deal. That you know, in its neodymium in its original state is non-magnetic, and so you know, we're talking a little bit of exotic materials and some pretty good milling that has to be done in order to put this thing together. And I've seen a few prototypes. Russ from RWG Research was at a convention somewhere. I seen one of his videos where they actually had one of these Searle generators sitting there, but I never got any full information as to, you know, is this thing actually generating electricity? And that's, I guess that's what I'm trying to beat around the bush to get to. They show.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting to look at and all that stuff. But like you said, where is the free energy in it?
You know, the PAP engine. Russ also worked on that, you know, the plasma engine and stuff. And
yeah.
Still, he was able to get this thing to jump up off the deal, so there's something happening there. Hey, I think we got Steve in there. You there, Steve?
No, I'm with the Woolwich, mate.
Oh, cool. Well, tell him I said hi.
It was a busy
morning.
It is now, yeah. It's 2:47 in the afternoon.
Wow, it's like 8:47 a.m. here.
Do you know, a guy asked me if I was retarded in Tenerife recently when he asked me where I lived, and I said Third Rock from the Sun. I'm touting for a restaurant.
So, you know, what do you think about what we're talking about so far, Steve, with all these alternative energy devices?
Well, I was sniffing the toilet bleach again the other night. You know, I do like that duck. And I got to stop mixing my drinks. Harpic and caustic soda just don't go down well in the mornings. But I was thinking, solar power to a HHO generation device that has a torch-like element on it burning the gas, heating a Stirling engine.
Yeah.